Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and you've been listening to our program here for, I hope, a long time, but since June, we've been in the book of Acts. Can you believe that? We've been working our way through the book of Acts, and I've been asking you to what is your chapter? Write the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. We've arrived at the last chapter here in the book of Acts, and Paul has finally made it to Rome, not as a free man, but under the prison chains of his Roman guards. Last week, if you were listening, we left Paul on trial defending his faith outside the courts of the temple. We learned that an apologia is a defense of the faith. An apologia, in essence, is us giving our own, what I call, a resurrection response. In chapters 22 through 26, Paul gives his apologia, or his resurrection response, at least four different times. Once before the rioting crowd outside the temple, then before Governor Festus, and then before Governor Felix, and finally before King Agrippa himself. The last two chapters of Acts records Paul's final journey to Rome. The journey to Rome was a very challenging and dangerous voyage filled with toil, hardship, and even a shipwreck. I would encourage you, as your pastor here on the radio, I'd encourage you to go back and read Luke's firsthand account of sailing from port to port and having this shipwreck off the island of Malta. Some scholars believe that Luke and Aristarchus claimed to be slaves of Paul so that they could have the honor to travel with Paul as prisoners. When Paul finally arrives in Rome, he does what he has done in every town and city that he has visited. He calls together the leaders of the Jerusalem church. Paul always went first to the Jews, his own people, and after they rejected him, he would go to the Gentiles. Before we go to God's word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we pray today that your word would be alive and redemptive for us today. May God's word shape us and mold us to proclaim the kingdom of God today and every day in our own resurrection responses. Amen. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Acts chapter 28, 17 through 31. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we would be glad, I would be glad, our church would be glad to mail you a Bible. You can email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com and we'll mail you a Bible. Acts 28, 17 through 31. 3 days later, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors, yet I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. When they had examined me, the Romans wanted to release me because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to the emperor, even though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is for the sake of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and some of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken anything evil about you, but we would like to hear from you what you think. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." After they had set a day to meet with him, they came to him at his lodgings in great numbers. From morning until evening, he explained the matter to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he had said, while others refused to believe. So they disagreed with each other, and as they were leaving, Paul made one further statement. This is what he said. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah, go to this people and say, you will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Boy, is that a powerful verse. I pray right now that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see, and that we would turn and we would be healed. Verse 28, let it be known to you then that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. Wow. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, arguing vigorously among themselves. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Wow. That's a great passage. Do you know that on an October evening in 1968, a group of diehard spectators remained in Mexico City's Olympic Stadium to see the final finishers of the Olympic marathon? More than an hour before, Mamo Woldi of Ethiopia had won the race to the exuberant cheers of the onlookers. As the crowd watched and waited for the last participant, it was getting cool and dark. It looked as if the last runners had finished, so the remaining spectators were breaking up and they were leaving when they heard the sounds of sirens and police whistles coming from the marathon gate into the stadium. And as everyone watched, one last runner made his way onto the track for the last lap of the 26-mile race. It was John Stephen Akwari from Tanzania. As he ran the 400-meter circuit, people could see that his leg was bandaged and bleeding. He had fallen and injured it during the race, but he hadn't let it stop him. The people in the stadium rose and applauded until he reached the finish line. As he hobbled away, he was asked why he had not quit. Injured as he was and having no chance of winning a medal, Akwari responded, "My country did not send me to Mexico City to start the race," he answered. "They sent me to finish the race." Akwari looked beyond the pain of the moment and kept his eyes on the big picture of why he was there. Friends, I believe Paul felt the same way. In one of his last recorded letters to his young protege, Timothy, he wrote these final words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Second Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, if you're following along. Paul wrote these words, "I have fought the fight." Actually, it says in the Greek, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for this appearing." Well, for the past several months, really since June, we've been looking at the fight and the faith of our mentor Paul. As we've studied the book of Acts, we have traveled with him on 3 missionary journeys. We have that the journeys have taken him through Galatia, Asia Minor, and Europe. In 2 Corinthians, Paul needs to defend his faith once more to the church in Corinth, and he writes these wonderful, powerful words that summarizes hope in the resurrection. Listen to what he says. "To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I am talking like a madman. I am a better one, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, more countless floggings, and often near death. 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was received a stoning. They stoned him with stones and drug him out of the city of Lystra and left him for dead. Once I received a stoning. Three times I was shipwrecked. For a night and day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from bandits, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false prophets and brothers and sisters in toil and hardships, through many a sleepless nights, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked, and beside other things, I am under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. What was it that compelled Paul to endure these hardships? What was it in Paul that compelled him to toil through, to suffer through the beatings and the stonings and the shipwrecks and the prisons and finally his own death at the hands of the Emperor Nero? I believe we find the answer in the last verse of the book of Acts. Turn in your Bibles to the last verse. He said, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrances. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was the message of Paul from beginning to end. We're told in the third verse of Acts that Jesus stayed around for 40 days to teach the disciples about the kingdom of God. Listen again, it says, after his sufferings, he presented himself alive to them for many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you need prayer, our prayer team at the church would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, wherever it is. I think it's on the top of the screen. And write your prayer concern, and we'll pray for you. I've seen through some of the prayer concerns, God is answering prayers. Paul, we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and Paul's mission was to teach and preach and tell the kingdom of God. We're told in the last two verses of the last chapter of Acts, for two whole years, Paul stayed in Rome at his own expense, and he welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, Paul preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. In between the beginning and the end of Acts, Paul went on three missionary journeys. The last 28 years of his life was spent for one purpose. Maybe I would ask you, what is the one purpose that you're here for? What are you spending your life on? For the last 28 years of Paul's life, he had one purpose: to declare the hope he had in the kingdom of God. Paul finally gave his life so the kingdom of God would continue to be preached. I've been thinking a lot about the kingdom of God. John the Baptist began his ministry by proclaiming the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is near and people should repent. Jesus began his ministry by preaching the kingdom of God, healing the lame, giving sight to the blind, curing those with leprosy, raising the dead, eating with tax collectors and sinners. The gospel records the phrase kingdom of God, quote unquote, or the kingdom of heaven, quote unquote, 85 times. The book of Acts speaks about the kingdom of God 8 times in 28 chapters. Well, that averages about every third or fourth chapter. Every Sunday at our church, at the Seed Christian Fellowship, we meet on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock at 9284 Baseline Road. We invite you to come and join us on Sunday mornings. If you can't come up and join us Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, you can always join us on the live stream. But every Sunday, we pray a prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Boy, do we need that in our lives? Do we need that in our worlds today? We pray part of the Lord's petition, part of the Lord's Prayer petition is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. Well, a little surfing on the internet brought up some interesting thoughts regarding the kingdom of God. a present and real relationship between God and his people, the existing reign of God over the world, the redemption of all men and all women, and our deliverance from evil, forgiveness of sin, and life everlasting and righteousness. Here was my personal favorite. The kingdom of God, well, God's deed. He comes into our world in Christ. He works in the world through the church. When the church has proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom in all the world as the witnesses to all the nations, well, then Christ will return and bring the kingdom into his glory. The so what question for us today, and it's a probing question. I wrestle with this. I spent some time this morning on the phone praying with a man, and he felt just really challenged over, you know, trying to share the good news of the kingdom and people not hearing it, kind of like what it says in Isaiah. People have ears to hear, but they don't hear, and eyes to see, but they don't see. My question to you today, has your heart grown dull? I put it in personal. Has my heart grown dull? Are my ears hard of hearing? Are your ears hard of hearing? Are our eyes shut? Do I have my own, what I call an apologia, or my own resurrection response? Can I defend my faith? Can you defend your faith? Do I really understand how the resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed my life forever? As a pastor, I had a man take me to coffee one day. He says, "Pastor Dave, I want to take you out for coffee." We had spent some time, and he said, "I want to know, what is your passion?" And I said, "You know," I said, "well, that's really simple. My passion is to see people's lives transformed by the love of Christ." That's my apologia. I want to see your life. Why I do what I do, why I'm here talking to you, is I want to see your life transformed by the love of Christ. So my question today is, has our heart grown dull? Are our ears hard of hearing? Are our eyes shut? Do we have our own resurrection response? Do we have an apologia? Can we defend our faith? Do we really, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, do we really mean it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Nearly 200 years ago, there were two Scottish brothers named John and David Livingston. John had his mind set on making money and becoming wealthy, and he did. But under his name in an old edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, John Livingston is listed simply as the brother of David Livingston. Who was David Livingston? While John had dedicated himself to making money, David had knelt down and prayed, surrendering himself to Christ. He resolved, this is a quote, "I will place no value on anything I have or possess until it is in relationship to the kingdom of God." Let me tell you, let me read it again. Let me read it slow. "I will place no value on anything I have or possess unless it is in relationship to the kingdom of God." The inscription over his burial place in Westminster Abbey reads, "For 30 years his life was spent in an unwearied effort to evangelize. On his 59th birthday, David Livingston wrote, 'My Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to thee.'" David Livingston, John Stephen Akwari, our good friend Paul, each one had to answer the same so what question, the same so what question each one of us must answer. So what does the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ really mean to you? I spent some time in Africa. We have two mission homes in Africa where we rescue little children. They're abandoned, they're left, their parents just leave them. And we have these rescue homes. And when I was there, I had the chance to go to a place where there's a statue of David Livingston. I took a picture of it. I'd love to send you the picture, but I just, you know, I almost started crying thinking about his vision of proclaiming the kingdom of God. We've been studying the book of Acts well since last June. We've been writing daily entries. I've been writing daily entries in my own chapter 29. That's what I've been trying to challenge you to do through this whole series. Write chapter 29 of the book of Acts. If you go to your Bibles and you try and find chapter 29, it's not in your Bible. But if you start writing your story, someone's going to read it. We're reading Paul's story. It said for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly, without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for you as we kind of, well, we wrap up this series on the book of Acts and I'm going to begin a series next week on Ephesians chapter 3 with Paul's prayer. When he's praying for the church in Ephesus, one of the churches he visited while he was in his missionary time. But my prayer for you is that you'll develop a resurrection response. You'll develop an apologia. We live in a fallen world, but we have hope. We have the hope of the power of the resurrection. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know your struggles, but I know one thing. I know that Jesus Christ came into the world to redeem us, to rescue us, to call us his own. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. There's never a time that's too late or you've gone too far for Jesus to come and be Lord of your life. David Livingstone dedicated his life. He said, I'll place no value on anything I have or possess unless it is in relationship to the kingdom of God. How would our world change today? Better yet, how would your life change if you said, I will place no value on anything I have or possess unless it is in relationship to the kingdom of God? My prayer for you is that you'll see Christ, that your eyes will be open, your ears will be open, your heart will be transformed by God's great love for you through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks today for Paul and Peter and the early disciples. We give thanks for the book of Acts that teaches us to preach the kingdom of God and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us with holy boldness to go out into this world and be the light in this world and the salt that leavens everything. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I, and we're praying for you. We're praying for you during this season. And if you have any special prayers, you can always go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We've seen some wonderful, wonderful answers to prayer over the last several years doing the prayers that are received here on the radio programming. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.